He indeed is an awesome God, a God who gives his love to us in the person and work of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. Our theme for tonight, as you can see, is put your love into action, based on a section of the gospel that Pastor shared with us just a moment ago. I would encourage you to take your Bibles because we're actually going to look at Matthew chapter 8 and the first part of Matthew chapter 9 before we get to our text this evening. So if you will, open up the Gospel of Matthew. As you look with me in the Gospel of Matthew, and we could have looked further back, but let's start in chapter 8 of Matthew. In chapter 8 and 9, we see that Jesus is doing his ministry. Jesus is moving about among the people, and Jesus is doing what he always does. He's healing, he's preaching and teaching, he's showing God's love in action. Put your love into action. Jesus not only preaches that we should do that, he not only encourages his first century disciples and us to do that, but he shows us that's what it means and how he does that. In Matthew chapter 8, he cleanses the man who had leprosy. He heals many. In the middle of the chapter, he calms the storm. He heals those with demon possession. In chapter 9, the beginning, he heals the paralytic. Remember that story where they brought their friend to Jesus and they lowered him through the roof? Jesus saw their faith and the faith of the man, and Jesus healed them. He calls Matthew as a disciple. And then he continues by healing the dead girl, raising her from the dead, and healing a sick woman who'd had a bleeding problem for a dozen years. Jesus healed the blind and those who were unable to speak, and it continues until the last part of the chapter where our text begins with verse 35. Chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That's what Jesus does. Jesus puts his love into action. We see it powerfully through these chapters of Matthew, and we see it again in our text. Jesus looks at the people, and he loves them. And when Jesus puts his love into action, he teaches them. He teaches them about God's love and why he had come to the world and how powerful God's love is. God's creating love, creating all the world. How mankind had sinned and gone away from God, and yet God's love seeks them. God's love was in Christ, and he had come into the world seeking those who were sinners, and that didn't leave anyone out, including you and me. God's love, and he taught that love. He also preached the love of God. You may remember the incident where he had gone into the synagogue, and he opened up the scroll of Isaiah, and he said, "Today in your hearing, this word of God is fulfilled." Those who understood it realized that he was making himself equal with God, and that's exactly who Jesus was and is, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Pastor did a good job of reminding us of that last weekend on Holy Trinity Sunday, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus put his action into love by teaching and preaching, and our text says by healing. Every sort of disease, every sort of illness, whatever it might be, when they came to him, he touched them with a compassionate touch. With the love of God the Father in the person and work of Jesus, he miraculously healed, a way that God demonstrated his love for each of those who were in need. And then what our text tells us is that Jesus looked out on the people, and what he saw was a harvest. This reminds me of Kansas and our Kansas wheat fields. Many of them already harvested, right? And some still being harvested. And when you look on those Kansas wheat fields, they're beautiful and full and rich. At least many of them are. When Jesus looked on the crowd, he saw them as a harvest field, ripe for the harvest, ready for the harvest, ready to hear the message of God's love, ready to be brought in through faith in himself to forgiveness and the gift of eternal life, ready to be brought in as his very own children to live with him forever. So you see, as Jesus looked at the crowds, he saw not just crowds of people, but he saw individuals, and he loved and cared for each one. As Jesus looked at those crowds, he wasn't lost in the crowd, but looking at each one, he saw their needs. He saw what they wanted and desired, what their greatest need was, and Jesus individually loved every one of them. That's what Jesus saw as he looked on that crowd. But our text says that Jesus saw something else. Jesus said to his disciples, "You know, those crowds, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're afraid and they're lost. They're running, they're scurrying in every direction because they need direction. They need to know the love of God. They need to know God's compassion, God's care, God's forgiveness, God's mercy and his grace." As he looked on those fields of people ready to be redeemed, ready to be loved, he saw that they were harassed and helpless. Jesus was a compassionate Savior. And I really love that word, compassion. Compassion, you see, is more than just love, but it's love in action. As I did some looking this week, you know, I looked, of course, at Wikipedia because they have all the answers. And what Wikipedia says is that compassion is the response to the suffering of others that motivates a desire to help them. It's not loving from a distance. It's not loving and then sitting on your hands. It's love in action. That's what Jesus did. He looked at the crowds and he loved them, and that motivated him to action on their behalf. The Latin says this. The Latin definition of compassion is co-suffering. It's not suffering from a distance, suffering from arm's length, but suffering along with, and then doing something about that suffering. That's what we've already seen in our text. Jesus loved them. He was compassionate. His love put into action in preaching and teaching and healing. I'd love for you to jot down a couple of other Bible passages. Would you do this someplace in Life at Holy Cross so you can look at it later? But look at Matthew chapter 14, just a few chapters later. Matthew chapter 15, write that down, and Matthew chapter 20. In chapters 14, 15, and 20, we see Jesus' compassion. Jesus' compassion that fed thousands. Jesus' compassion that healed leprosy. Jesus' compassion in so many ways. His love put into action. And isn't that our theme for this evening? Putting your love into action. Well, that's what happens in our text. Jesus draws the 12 together as he's loved the crowd, as he's cared for them, and then he says to his disciples, "If you would follow me, I want you to be like me. I want you to watch me and see what I've done, and then you do the same thing." And Jesus sends them out on a mission. Jesus tells them to go out, and then he gives them power, power over demons, power over diseases, power over all of these things. And he says, "Take my love, the love of the Father, my love, and take it out to the people. Preach and teach. Share with them God's love." Ultimately, the greatest example of Jesus' love you know and I know is his death on the cross. What did he say? "No greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends," Jesus says. Jesus showed his love in action by giving his very life and death, and he was raised again for the greatest of the needs of these crowds and those disciples and us and our world, and that's the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus said to them, "Go, carry my love, be my love, act out my love, so that they'll know it in every way." And when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said to them, "I'm going to take care of you as you go. Don't worry about taking money with you, gold or silver or copper," he says. "Don't worry about taking an extra staff. Don't worry about taking an extra sandals, a set of sandals, or a bag with you filled with possessions and provisions." Now, he wasn't saying, be foolish, be unwise, don't prepare. That's not what Jesus was saying. What he says in our text is, as you go out and do this work, people will provide. Ultimately, what he's saying is, I will provide for you through them. You see, too often, I think disciples want to get everything said, everything ready, everything lined up, and then we'll go, not necessarily trusting on God, but trusting on our plans and what we've done and what we've gotten organized. Jesus says to those disciples, go. So often disciples today, and probably then too, were like we often are. Get ready, get set, keep getting ready, get set some more. Ready, aim, and get ready some more and keep aiming, and we forget to go and forget to fire. He says, put your love into action. Go, because when you go, I will be going with you. It's my power through you. I will care for you. Put my love into action. What do you see today when you look around you in Kansas? Well, certainly there are wheat fields, some of which have been harvested, others still to be harvested. But my hope is that you and I have the eyes of Jesus, that you and I have the eyes of Jesus' disciples, and that we would look in Wichita, wherever we live, if some of you are visiting from elsewhere, that we would look across the world, and that we would see the crowds. Not just the crowds, but individuals in the crowds, and that you would see in them the same way Jesus saw. Jesus saw that they were helpless and harassed, that they needed the preaching and teaching of the Word. They needed to hear the gospel. They needed to know God's love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. They still do. And Jesus calls us to be the ones who see them and care. God calls us to show that same compassion. God wants us to be His love in action in our world today, in Wichita, and in all the world. How is it that He calls you to love? Where has He planted you? What are the harvest fields? What are the people? What are the sheep around you? And what do they need? They need the same thing people have always needed: God's mercy and grace and love and forgiveness and compassion and care and tenderness and help of every sort. So what about the mission field? You see, the mission field is not just someplace else and overseas. The mission field is wherever you put your feet. Wherever the feet of people are around the world, that's the mission field. That's the place where people need God's compassion, His love and care. And I believe that Jesus is speaking to every one of us tonight, just like He did those first disciples. Jesus says to us, be my disciples. I've called you. I've redeemed you. I've made you my own. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And now what I want you to do is to pray. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples then? It's what He's telling us now too. He calls us to pray. And I want to urge you to pray for the mission of the church, to pray for this congregation, or if you're visiting from elsewhere, pray for your own congregation. Pray for workers, isn't that what He says? So that more and more will be able to share the message, the love, the compassion of God, more and more. I want you to pray that God would be calling some of you into full-time church work. And some of you I've talked with about doing just that. And I believe that God is working among us, and that from our congregation, He'll be calling pastors and teachers and deaconesses and others to full-time church service. Pray for your children and your grandchildren, that God would tap them on the shoulder to be His missionaries wherever He plants them, in the United States, in Wichita, and all over the world. Pray. That's the first thing He calls us to do. And then I believe He calls us also to go. Not to just talk about compassion, not just to talk about His love, but to be His love in our neighborhoods, in our schools and workplaces. How can you exemplify the love of God in Christ? Look for ways and be His example. Go, because He's sending you and me. And finally tonight, I believe that He's calling us to invite others. Some of us have been talking about that recently. If we're asking that God would cause our congregation to grow, not for the sake of numbers, but for the sake of influence and for the sake of carrying the gospel to more people, we want our congregation to grow. And you know how that happens? Well, it's by God's grace. God does it, and God uses you. Who have you invited lately to worship here among us? Who are you sharing the message of the gospel with? We desire, one of our goals is to be over 1,000 in worship over the weekend. That can easily happen if you invite someone with you to church. Who will you bring? Who will you encourage? Who are you praying that God would let you touch and reach? Do it. That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to pray for workers, to be workers, to go with the message of the gospel. Because you see, brothers and sisters, the harvest is ripe. There are people all over the world and near us who need to know Jesus. There are so many who are non-Christians. There are many who are anti-Christians. The number of nuns not affiliated is growing more and more. They say in Kansas, even in our communities, one out of two is unchurched, and at least one out of two doesn't know Jesus. So as you see the crowds, look at the people, at the individuals, and who needs to know the love of God in Christ? You and I do, and for that we are truly thankful. God calls us to put His love, our love, into action. May God encourage and bless and equip and empower and strengthen you to do just that. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, God's love in the flesh. Amen.